It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. My next guest says for women to move up the ladder at work, they're not the ones who need advice. It's the men they work with who have some learning to do. So men, listen up. Joanne Lipman, the former editor-in-chief of Portfolio Magazine, former deputy managing editor of the Wall Street Journal, and the author of Strings Attached, One Tough Teacher and the Gift of Great Expectations, has got some advice for you. She wrote a piece with this advice that ran in Saturday's Wall Street Journal, which we've linked to on our site if you want to read it. And she's here with me now to run through some of this and take your calls. Hi, Joanne. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And you're right that career advice at work geared toward women is great, but men are the ones who really need it. So lean in and all this other stuff aimed at women, it's not going to get them anywhere unless the men revise what they're doing or how they see the world?
Well, the point is that there actually, as you say, there's a ton of advice books, career advice books for women. There's conferences, there's networking groups. It's great, right? But it's half the equation. And so having women talk amongst ourselves, just to ourselves, can only get us halfway. And so the other half is having the men join the conversation. And I, you know, the reason I wrote this piece is because there's so much conversation among us and the men, we're not letting them in on it. And I wanted to let them in on here's some of the things that we're talking about, and here's some things that possibly men could be aware of to help them, because it's good for business, right, to get more women involved.
And you're right that men are often, quote, clueless about the myriad ways in which they misread women in the workplace every day, not intentionally.
Right.
So you want to pick one to start with?
Sure. And by the way, let me just say, these are the good guys. I'm not talking about misogynists, and I'm not talking about, you know, overt sexism. I'm talking about guys who are really well-intentioned, who are great guys, but just do things that they don't realize are offensive to us or mistreating us or belittling us in some way.
This is a Mars and Venus problem.
I suppose you could say that. So, you know, as a for instance, right, there's just different ways of expressing ourselves in meetings. And I'm talking in generalities. Obviously, we're all individuals. But generally speaking, men in meetings are more assertive. Men tend to state them, you know, they'll bang the table and say, this is what we need to do. Women, they're verbally, generally, will ask a question rather than making a statement very often. And then the woman gets overlooked. And the example I use in here is, you know, in a news meeting, if you're in a news organization, the man bangs the table, says, we need a story about gas prices. And the woman raises her hand and she says, hey, has anybody noticed that gas prices are coming down? Do we know why that is? They're saying exactly the same thing, which is, get me the damn story on gas prices. We need it now. But there is a difference. The woman very often gets overlooked.
So if the man is the manager in charge of the meeting, what can he do differently to see that the women in the room don't get overlooked?
Right. And there are men who are doing this. This is the great thing. What I want to do with this piece is talk to men who are getting it right. And I spoke to a number of executives. And what they told me about this particular issue is they listen differently, that they understand that the woman's question is she's not looking for an answer. She's not looking for advice. She's making a statement. So they hear things differently. And one of the executives I spoke to, a guy at Cardinal Health, the top exec there, said that, you know, he notices very often that a woman's point will get overlooked. A man makes it later and gets credit. And so he goes out of his way to give credit to the woman and reach out to her and say, hey, can you elaborate on that for us since you made the point?
One of the rules is called, she deserves a raise, but she won't ask for it.
which is true. The women are far less likely to ask for raises. We talk about this in the corporate world so often about the wage gap. How do we get over the wage gap? And what very recent research shows, there's been some research done at Carnegie Mellon that shows that men are 4 times more likely to ask for a raise than women. And that when women do ask for a raise, they ask for 30% less than what men ask for. And so, you know, a big piece of this is simply being aware. I mean, awareness will go so far toward closing this gap.
So, listeners, are these things sounding like you or people you work with or people you know? Former editor of Portfolio Magazine, former deputy managing editor of the Wall Street Journal. Joanne Lippman. Maybe you saw her advice piece that ran in Saturday's Journal, which we've linked to on our site at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show if you want to read it there, talking about the advice that men need managing women in the workplace. It's not just the women who need the career advice for, you know, navigating on their own. So does this sound like you, or does this sound like someone you know? 212-433-WNYC. Any men listening who are currently managers, who have been managers, who might have a question for Joanne, since she studied this area, about how you might be misreading women at work, or how you might even be mystified by your attempt to understand some of your female employees compared to some of your male employees, and you have a question that can help clarify some of this for you, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And women, you can call with your stories as well. But I'm curious to see, Joanne, if any men step up and say, oh, yeah, right, okay, this is new to me, or I'm sort of getting this, or I was already confused and trying to figure stuff out. I knew I didn't get something, but I didn't know exactly what it is. Are men responding to you that way?
Yeah, what's very interesting, so for the piece, I reached out, I spoke to a lot of men, a lot of highly placed executives who have said that it's really been sort of in recent years that they have sort of understood. You know, as one of the guys said to me, he said, I always thought I was a good guy, but I didn't realize the issues that women, and by the way, minorities as well, were facing at work. And he said, it's not that I was a bad guy. He said, but there's a lot of people who don't know what you don't know. And I think that's the case here.
You also write that women often turn down a promotion. We just talked about a raise, saying they can't handle the promotion, or they're not ready for it.
Right. So this is another issue, the difference between men and women. And this also goes to the heart of a major issue in corporate America, is getting more women into leadership positions, right? There's only 5% of Fortune 500 CEOs are women. The numbers for board members, law, finance are all dismal. And so there is an effort, by the way, because we know that having more women in senior management is good for companies, that actually financial results improve with more women.
There's a lot of data on that, actually.
A lot of data. So, the point of the piece here, by the way, is not to be politically correct. It's a business case. It's a business argument.
By the way, what do you think the main reasons are for that? It's a little bit of a tangent. But if the data is that companies with significant representation of women, you know, in management and upper management do better than those that don't have, what is it that women in management get?
There's the diversity of thought and the diversity of opinion and approaches is believed to be the main cause of that. For instance, women on boards are more likely to ask questions, to raise questions, and not just go with the status quo. And also, when you have more women in a room, they are more likely to voice their opinions that might be differing opinions. When you have one woman in a room, she's very often sort of cowed and will keep quiet. If you have, you know, a tipping point of several women in a board meeting or in a senior management meeting, the women are more empowered and feel more comfortable speaking up.
Ethan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem. So I heard the thing about having, you know, multiple women in the room versus one woman, you know. Is that on her to not be more, you know, confident about her own opinion? Or do you think that she should be as confident, you know? Just because there's more women in the room doesn't mean her personal opinion is more important than, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that's a really great question, and it's a really important question, because the reason behind this piece is because we women, there's all of these advice books are out there that are telling us, hey, speak up, be more confident. And we are trying. But what the point of the piece is that us trying only gets us halfway. And so the other half is having men in the room recognize this. So that the men, you know, it takes two to tango, right? So you need the men to understand the women's behavior and how they're thinking. Women in the workplace, I will tell you, spend so much of their time thinking in terms of career, thinking about how to fit in with men. And what we're saying is men need to give a little bit of thought about how to fit in with women.
That sounds good, yeah. I agree with you completely.
Ethan, thank you very much. Ann in Hoboken, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So I worked in law firms for years as a secretary, and I saw hundreds of conferences and meetings. Now I've been in business for myself, too. And I understand that men, when they get into a conference, they spend 20 minutes or half an hour talking about who they went to lunch with, who they their Scottish golf trip, I don't know what.
That's just the problem with guys. Talk, 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 talk. Gossip, gossip, gossip.
Women will get right down to business. I'm an author, have conference calls with the publisher, and she is a woman, too. We get on the phone. Hi, how are you? Everybody's fine. Bam, right down to work. We want to get back to our kids.
That's a great point, too. One of the issues you just hit on is one of the most important issues for women in the workplace, which is mentorship. And mentorship is when, you know, a senior person takes an interest in someone's career. And very often mentorship takes the form of the golf outing or going out for a drink after work. And women don't participate, for the most part, in those things. And that's another thing that hurts women. And the men who I spoke with for this article said that they are aware of that, and they're trying to come up with ways, not so much to go out for drinks or golfing or whatever, but ways to sponsor women, which is a little bit different, sponsor women, to take an interest in their career, to bring them into the office and say, hey, let's talk about your goals. Let's talk about how to get you there.
Doesn't have to take place off-premises as much.
Exactly.
Johan in Middletown, you're on WNYC. Middletown, New York, Middletown, New Jersey, or Middletown, Connecticut, Johan?
Middletown, New Jersey.
All right. You're on the air.
I agree with all the things that have been said, that there are clear differences between men and women. I'd like to add one more aspect to this conversation. I've worked in Sweden, South Africa, and England, and my experiences in working with women and men in those countries have been very different from working in the U.S. There's a scientist, I believe his name is Hofstetter, who's Belgian, I think, who has done cultural research on how male or female societies are. And as I've compared those countries to the U.S., the U.S., by the way, is the most masculine country in the world, according to this research, if I remember correctly, and Sweden is the most feminine, I have found that this very much colors the conversation. Somehow American society is very masculine in how it acts, and I think that's a big obstacle for women, and men obviously is not aware of this. Most Americans aren't aware of it. And it has things to do with how comfortable you are expressing dominance and power, how individual you are versus more common in your perspective. And I think that's an important part of this conversation. Thank you.
Johan, thank you.
Great point.
Great point. Let's go right to Daniel in Williamsburg. You're on WNYC. Hi, Daniel. Daniel, listen to your radio, to your phone, not your radio.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Daniel. Hi, listen to your phone.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say it's like, you know, the whole structure was, you know, like corporate structure, for instance, was kind of built for men, by men. So it doesn't, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so it just feels like, you know, it doesn't, it's not a natural fit for women.
Are you thinking of a particular instance?
Come again?
Well, I think you said to my screener that men are accused of sexism if they acknowledge differences.
Right, exactly.
So how does that come up?
So if you're like, oh, you have to be more aggressive and you know, bang on tables or whatever, like, it just seems like, you know, well, oh, you know, you're just being like a, you know, like a
guy,
crazy, you know, man, and, you know, but so I feel like, you know, there should be ways of, you know, understanding where women are coming from, just, you know, naturally, you know, and that they do things just a little differently.
Right. And that men do things differently. And so you refer, and Daniel, thank you. And Joanne, you refer in your article to benevolent sexism, the compliments that some men might think are kind, but are really reinforcing damaging stereotypes.
Right.
So maybe this comes into play here.
Right, right. I mean, that's a really, really good point. So this benevolent sexism, which is something I never actually was familiar with until recently I started looking into this, It's the stuff that, you know, when a man says to a colleague, a female colleague with little kids, oh my God, you know, I have a wife at home. I have no idea how you do this. And to some women, not all, but to some women, that just makes them feel like they're standing out in the room. It makes them feel like an alien, like they don't fit into this culture. You know, even some, you know, innocuous comments about, you know, you're a great female leader. I spoke to the CEO of BAE Systems, you know, a really accomplished woman in the defense industry, CEO. And she said, God, I hate it when I'm called an accomplished woman leader. She said, why can't they just call me an accomplished leader?
BAE. What's
that? BAE is a defense contractor. Yeah.
Ashley in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. So I have a friend who went to Yale Law School, and she told me when she was there, they petitioned the school to have the professors post their office hours and actually be in their offices during those hours. Because if they weren't there, female students would leave and come back during the posted hours, and if the professors were never there, they would never see them because women generally follow rules. And male students would, you know, form personal relationships with the professors at different hours and different things. And as a result, you know, there were consequences throughout their law careers in terms of recommendations for law review and clerkships and that sort of thing. And so when they standardized the hours and requested that the professors be there during those hours, it actually changed.
Right. That goes right to that mentorship issue again. It's really important. The personal relationships that you form within the workplace are so important. And that's why it's so crucial for, you know, women spend so much time and effort trying to understand men and trying to fit in with men. And so the point here is let's have men put a little of that effort into understanding women as well.
Ashley, thank you. So there's another viva la difference, difference. Men follow rules less than women. Women are more prone. Have you come across this one? Do you tend to agree with it? Do you think that's established knowledge? Women follow rules more?
You know, I'm not sure if women follow rules more, but I do think it's 100% true that it's more difficult for the women to forge those sort of personal social relationships with a male superior.
As we have a few more minutes with Joanne Lipman, who had a Wall Street Journal article on Saturday that we've linked to on our site, if you want to see it, that says, as women move up the ladder at work, they're not the ones only who need advice. It's also the men who work with who still have a lot of learning to do. So we're talking about that. Emily on Twitter tweets at us, this conversation matters most in male-managed, female-staffed industries. Education and teaching, she says, most of all.
Well, that's very interesting. And the article actually looks at not just male staffs. And one of the things, you know, I noticed in this conversation, we've mostly been talking about male managing women.
Yes.
But in fact, the article also addresses when women are the boss.
Yes.
Which is also very important because that's another issue that we come into with a miscommunication. This is huge. When women become the manager, when women become the boss, linguistics experts have looked into this, and they will tell you that women's management style tends to be more collaborative, everybody's equal, checking in a lot, like making sure you're okay, right? For men, men value managers as a boss who put good people in place and leave them alone. And so when they have a female boss who's checking in, they view it as, oh, my God, she doesn't trust me. And then they become resentful of her. And it becomes a very difficult situation with a lot of female managers.
And you have another rule of thumb in your article for men being managed by women. She's your boss, not your mother. So
yes.
That one is, I don't know, I mean, it seems obvious. But how does that express that men would be acting toward their female bosses as if she's their mother?
It goes right into this resentment, right? She's checking in on them. She doesn't trust them. And you talk to any female manager, and you probably have a few in this station.
Our CEO is
and you talk
female,
to any female manager, and she will tell you that there are certain men who act like 13-year-old boys. They just get resentful, and they get obstreperous, and they don't want to listen. And they're difficult to manage because part of the issue is they're not respecting the boss. And that, by the way, is another one of the issues we talk about in the story that is so important, is that women feel very often that they are not getting the same respect that men are getting. That men sort of, if you have a man in a position who walks into a room, there's an assumption he knows what he's talking about. And if you have a woman who, in the same position who walks into a room, she feels that she's not getting the respect, that she is assumed to not know what she's talking about.
The executive producer of this show, Megan Ryan, just back from maternity leave. The acting executive producer of the show for the last 6 months, who's done such an awesome job and is about to leave at the holidays, Jen Poyant. Thank you very much. Strong women executives around the Brian Lehrer Show. Boy, was I difficult for them to manage. All right. So we will leave it there. A lot of good tips. It's a very open conversation. It's not a finger-pointing article. As is very obvious. And I think we got some good callers with some good dialogue and some open minds. So thank you very much for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
Joanne Lipman, former editor-in-chief of Portfolio Magazine, former deputy managing editor of The Wall Street Journal, author of Strings Attached, One Tough Teacher, and The Gift of Great Expectations, and this piece on men and women in the workplace in Saturday's Journal. Thanks again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the president emeritus of Rutgers, Richard McCormick. He was president for 12 years from 2000 until 2012. And among other things, his new book concludes with a warning that Rutgers might soon exacerbate inequality in New Jersey rather than alleviate it. And this is an issue for all of public higher education. So stay with us for Richard McCormick next. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.